worship band and God another hand for how good he is. I read a lot of stories, but this one is true. You always like to start out that way. I read a true story about a wife who liked to make sure she had meals ready to cook for her husband. She made freezer meals ahead of time, and she carefully noted what they were in large, clear letters. There was meatloaf, pot roast, steak and vegetables, chicken and dumplings, beef pot pie. But whenever she asked her husband what he wanted for dinner, he didn't ask for those things. So she said she decided to stock the freezer with things he really liked. And if you look in her freezer now, you'll see a whole new set of labels. You'll find dinners with neat, legible tags that say, whatever, anything, I don't know, I don't care, just food. So now, whenever she asks him what he wants for dinner, she just gives him what he asked for. Now all these ladies are shaking their head going, now I know what to do. No more chicken and dumplings. There's an old saying that goes, you are what you eat. And in our text this morning, we have the story of four young men who knew what they wanted to eat. And they didn't want pot pie. They didn't want chicken and dumplings or meatloaf. These boys insisted on having their vegetables. But before we get into that, let's talk about who these guys were. Their names were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, and they were Judeans. And everyone's going, who? But they'd been carried off into exile by the Babylonians, and their parents were probably dead by now. They were unlikely to ever see their home again, and they find themselves captive in a strange land with little chance of escape. But these boys are different. There's something about these guys that it says that they were apparently of noble birth. They were good-looking, intelligent, had a fairly good judgment, kind of like me. And because of all that, they had been chosen to be trained to serve in the court of King Nebuchadnezzar. But now there appears to be a problem, because they don't want to eat what's set on the table before them. There's something wrong with the food that they've been given. But why don't they want to eat this food? What's wrong with it? Well, they don't want to eat the food because they were paying attention in Sunday school. They were listening to the preacher when he was talking about taking a stand and believing what he had heard. There's an old story about a rabbi discussing God's word with his young student. The rabbi said, do you know the phrase, thus have I heard? The student said, oh yes, that is found throughout the scriptures. Rabbi said, well, my son, what have you heard? Well, these boys, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah had heard, and they had heard enough to know that they ought not to be willing to eat what the Babylonians were serving. But that still leaves the question, why didn't they want to eat the food that was being set before them? Was the food unclean? Well, Leviticus 11 gives us a long list of food that is deemed unclean and clean, and of things that they weren't supposed to eat. Among those were certain kinds of fish, mammals, even insects they couldn't eat, but the most famous item on that list was pig meat, bacon. Bacon. Oh, but then as I reread the passage, that didn't seem right because these boys didn't want any of the food that was set before them. So it was more than just something that was unclean to them. They just wanted salad. And so you would have thought that there had been something on that list of food that was being prepared for them that they would be able to eat. So I began looking for a better answer than it just was unclean food. And if you've ever read John Gill, he was an expository preacher, and he has a commentary, John Gill. And he said, though it might be food itself lawful to be eaten, yet part of it being first offered to their idol Bel as was usual, and the whole blessed in his name, it would have been against Daniel's conscience and a defiling of that to eat things offered or blessed in the name of an idol. So in other words, all the foods Daniel and his friends had been asked, been eaten, were dedicated to a pagan god. And they didn't want any of that. They didn't want to eat food that was sacrificed to a wrong god. And so that was made enough sense to Daniel where he says, I'm not eating it. So that made sense because the worship of pagan gods was rampant during that time. Much of their Babylonian society was based around different gods that they had. And they even renamed the Jewish boys to honor their gods. Daniel was renamed Belteshazzar, or Bel's treasure. Bel was the chief idol of the Babylonians. Hananiah was called Shadrach. The Rach, R-A-C-H ending, stood for their sun god. Mishael was called Meshach, the name of one of the other of their gods. And Azariah, he was called Abednego, a servant or worshiper of Nego, another god of the Babylonians. I always refer to him as shake the bed, make the bed, and to bed we go. That's how I remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's their made-up names, okay? Do you know their real names now? Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, okay? That's their given names, okay? So Daniel and his friends had a problem. They were strangers in a strange land. They weren't in Judea anymore, and there was no temple down the road that they could go to. This was a pagan land filled with pagan practices, and there was no way that they'd be able to get away from it. They were stuck in it. It's like being in church on Sunday morning and then going to work in the factory the next day where no one cares about God or morality. Right? We've all been there. At church, even the most godless folks will mind their manners, but out in the world, there's a lot of people who would really care less. They don't care about your God. They don't care about your walk with Christ. There's foul language. There's dirty jokes. At one factory I heard about, there were even several nudie magazines in the break room. So you can imagine and visualize the setting in some of these workplaces in our world. And that's kind of the situation that we find these four guys in. But what I want to focus on this morning is how they dealt with living in the land that was such heathens and pagans. And because I think we all know how we're supposed to behave in church. You guys are well behaved. Thank you. Except for a couple over here. They look at each other. See, they know, the troublemakers know who they are. You know, somebody asked me this morning, what's the hole down there? And I said, that's the start of the CTK cemetery. They go, really? And I said, yes, for all the dissenters in our congregation that aren't abiding by the rules. We know how to handle ourselves while we're in church, but we're not quite sure how we're supposed to handle ourselves once we get out into the world and breathe the air that godless people are breathing. If you do something here in a church, we have people that kind of take you aside and try to figure out what's wrong and set things straight and handle things that way. But what do you do out in the world? So let's take a break from the story just for a little bit and break it down. First, Daniel made up his mind that he wasn't going to get along to get along. Wasn't going to go along to get along. Did I write that? I did, huh? Seems kind of redundant, doesn't it? It's old age setting in. That's right. It is perfectly right. Good. That's what I meant. Daniel, all right, we'll read this from the text, Daniel 1:8. Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Therefore, he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. If you don't know by now, we're living in an increasingly crude world. Things are not going to get better. They're going to continue to get worse. Just take one example, cursing or cussing, for example. One study found that cursing in books and movies had exploded over the past 50 years. Almost anywhere you go now, you hear people cussing. I remember working at this job, and this guy loved to take the Lord's name in vain. And I said, I'm really offended that you're doing that. And he goes, doing what? I said, taking the name of my Lord in vain. Well, why does that bother you? I said, because it's my Lord, and we should not take his name in vain. So, but I've lived through enough time to where you kind of see things coming, how things start evolving and changing. At one point, I bought a box for my TV where you could plug it into your TV and it would read the script on the screen, and it would take out any of the bad words, you know, because I didn't want myself or my kids listening to that and seeing that. But then as it kept progressing, and not to say that I put up with it, but things started to transpire, and pretty soon you would be bleeping out a whole show. So that brings me to, why are we watching it? You know, so anyway, that's a whole other sermon. You want to hear it? but that's the kind of gutter language that's on TV now. And it appalls me, some of the shows that they're coming out with. Have you seen previews for the new fall series of shows? A lot of them are evil-based. Actually, there's one called Evil. There's a lot of paranormal shows that are coming out. There's a lot of sex and sin. Love Island, it just goes on and on and on, and we're just getting to the point where we're being saturated with all this stuff, this CRAP stuff, that is just wrong for us to look at. Do you know what it spells? ARP, yes. But there are some politicians and media type that are using crude language, and a lot of times we kind of applaud what they say because we agree with them and we endorse their message. We shouldn't go there. We shouldn't do that, because when we start doing that, we're endorsing the kind of influence on us as a society when we need to be set apart as a people of God that are different. Ephesians 4:29, and I didn't give you this verse, but it says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only that which is uplifting and to sanctify and give glory to God. That's loosely paraphrased. But don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Well, let me tell you the story about these two guys walking the bar. See, we listen to that kind of stuff. We listen to that kind of trash, and it becomes part of our psyche. It becomes part of who we are. Someone once made an observation about rocks that they found in the rivers. They noted that you could take a rock out of the river that had been there for years and years, and it was submerged all that time. But it had no choice. But if you were to take that rock out of the river and crack it open, you know what you would find? It was dry inside. That rock had been in the river, but the water had never gotten inside the rock. In the same way, we can't help but being in the world, but we sure can help not getting the world in us. Amen? So, first, we need to make up our mind not to defile ourselves. And second, we need to realize that others are watching to see what you do. They're watching you. And I've said this time and time again. People are watching you. They know what you do on Sunday morning. They see you leave your driveway. They might even be following us. So we ought to just invite them to church someday. Say, since you're following me, why don't you just ride with me and we'll go to church? But Daniel 1:8 again, Daniel resolved that he would not defile with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Now, I thought there was four people in this story But where's Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah? All we read is that Daniel made up his mind. There's no mention of the other three. You know what happened? What happened was that the three boys were good Jewish boys, but at this point they hadn't made up their mind. They hadn't taken a stand yet as to what to do. They were just going to go along to just get along. I read a story about a boy who noticed that when there was a certain person or group of people, that one person would stand off by themselves and certain other people would gravitate towards that one person. And so he decided that he would try this at church, and he went to this one function at the church one night, and he went off by himself and stood by the water fountain. Sure enough, three or four people came over there and stood with him. Well, that's what Daniel did. And these other three boys decided to stand with him. Daniel was the first one to make up his mind. He decided that he wasn't going to do this, and the other three followed him, and they stood with him. I'm sure we've all been in churches where certain groups of people kind of lead the church, and they cause an uprising and things, and nothing is said or done about it. Nobody says no. Nobody tells them it's wrong. Until you have one person stand up and say that it's wrong, and then other people will follow. No one else said no, but Daniel did, and the rest is history. And thirdly, saying no is important, but it matters how you say no. Daniel resolved that he wouldn't defile himself by eating the king's food. So notice what Daniel did. He asked the chief eunuch if he could not eat the certain food. He didn't demand anything. He didn't get in his face. He just asked him politely and kindly, is there any way that I don't have to eat this food? So he approached him carefully with a desire to work things out. Too often, we as Christians get righteously indignant. It's another word of another way of saying mad. We get mad. I like righteously indignant because you can kind of put yourself in that spot and you can go up to people and just go, I'm not mad at you. I'm just righteously indignant. And you can tell people off. Where are you going? Sit down. Don't talk to me like that. Oh, he's coming up here. But have you ever felt righteously indignant about something that happened, something that you see? We all have, but it's how we respond to that. I read a story about a pastor who he went to this restaurant out of his town, and he was working on a sermon, and there was a couple of workers there, and they sat down evidently on break, and one of them started cussing, and the other worker, you know, kind of chastised him and said, no, you shouldn't be using that kind of language. And so he thought, oh, cool. Pretty soon, you know, three or four more other workers came and they sat and they started really cussing. And he could hear all of this. And so in his mind, he was trying to think of, what should I do? I should probably go up to the owner of this place and tell him how appalled I am that your workers are talking like this and I'm never going to be back. Well, he'd never been there before, so it was kind of like an idle threat. But he thought, you know, I really don't want to bust her chops on this. I just want her to know that I, as a customer, don't appreciate that kind of talk. Well, he didn't do anything until right before he was getting ready to leave. And he went and pulled the manager aside privately and said, I heard some of your customers talking or your workers talking, and it offended me. And she said that she would chastise him, and she smelled alcohol on one of their breaths, and he told them to go home, get your head on straight, and come back the next day. So she dealt with it the best way that she knew how. But then he realized that these kids weren't Christians. They had no idea of godly behavior. Let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. They were just kids who didn't know any better. They probably were learning it at home. So my point is, in order to be righteous, we have to do things right. There is a time to be righteously indignant about things being wrong, but our first option should not be to make a scene. It should not be belittling or embarrassing people who behave badly. You catch more flies with honey than you do with vinegar. You need to just quietly approach people. And I know I have trouble being quiet when I'm approached with something that upsets me. And I'm trying to learn how to be soft. Ask Judy. I'm not always good. But our first option should be try to work things out, to try seeing things from their point of view. You know, there was an old saying, walk a mile in my shoes. We need to understand where that person's coming from. Maybe there is something that has happened to them that has caused them to do that, and we need to find out what it is. So that's what Daniel did to the chief eunuch. He politely asked for the eunuch's help in a moral problem that he was facing, and because he did, he ended up being his ally rather than his enemy. So there's one last thought, and there's a verse I'd never seen before. It says in Daniel 1:17, as for these four youths, God gave them learning and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Notice it was only Daniel that had the ability to interpret visions and dreams. The other three just had understanding. Why is that? Because I believe that Daniel was the only one that resolved to take a stand for God. He stood up for God. God stood up for him. The other three just went along with him. They finally agreed to do what Daniel was doing, but they didn't resolve to do what Daniel did. Does that make sense? Okay. Because they stood up for God, God stood up for them. There's a great Old Testament verse that I probably want recited at my funeral. It comes from 2 Chronicles 16:9. It says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. God's looking for people that are going to stand up for him. God's looking for people that will take a stand against evil, against wrongdoing, but to do it in a way that pleases him and not belittle and demean others that are doing it. You know, I think sometimes it's better just to keep our mouth shut and sit down and not say anything than to cause a problem. He wants disciples who stand up for him and willing to do what's necessary. So why do a lot of us Christians just sit down and not do anything? I think there's probably a couple of reasons. I think that we're afraid that we're going to lose our reputation or our friends or our status or whatever about us, and that we could lose a job or promotion if we say something about it. And you know what? They're right. We could do all that. We could lose all of that. But that's what Jesus said would happen in Matthew 5. He said, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. We're in good company when we start standing up for God and we get made fun of, they call us names, or whatever happens. We're in good company. And God is like standing up in heaven off of his throne saying, that's my kid. Way to go. Can't you just see God being proud parent of what we're doing for him? I want to get God's attention like that in our church. I want us to stand up for what is right. I want us to do the right thing at the right time. and get God's attention and have him bless us mightily. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. Again, we thank you that you give us instruction. You help us to show us how to live in an increasingly wicked world. That if we stand by the truth, live by the truth, and allow the truth to live through us, Lord, then we will make a good stand for you. But the first place that this can happen is if we belong to you. And I pray that if there's anyone here today that does not know you, that they would accept you today, that they would see that they need a Savior, that they need help in areas in their lives that they just can't control anymore. Lord, we ask you to work on our behalf. We ask that you would be pleased with what you see us do, that you would be pleased with the way that we talk outside of this place, how we conduct ourselves, how we live our lives that would bring glory and honor to you. We thank you, Lord, for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. And we thank you for your love. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you.